In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If there is a word that stands out, at least to me, in what we just heard, it is the word all. All of us here, all of us at home, the living and the dead, the whole world. Goes on to say those who believe, which has tempted many, many church people to think that you have to be a member to go to heaven. But the more we know about Jesus, the less likely that seems. His love, one learns through a lifetime of following him, is so much larger than any allegiance of ours could possibly be. And so life is not a test that he gives us. It is a school in which we learn how to live with him partially, knowing that the time will come when we know exactly how to live with him, because we will no longer be with him, we will be in him. We are in Christ, you and I, we're in Christ now. Some of us it shows better than others. We are all in Christ. Those who believe in Christ, they're in Christ. Those who don't, they're in him too. There are people there you would not have invited, which is why they did not put you on the admissions committee. There are people there that will surprise you. There will be people there you do not know. People there you do not like. Some of them may not have liked you. In Christ, all is present and all is resolved. Here so little is resolved, is it? Here, so much that is unfair, that is not right, that is unjust. So many of the young are taken way too soon. So many of the old have to linger long after they want to be here, some of them wishing, even begging, to be allowed to leave. We are able to treat our dogs and our cats more kindly than we are able to treat our brothers and our sisters at the end of life. What is the end of this life? It is a final end to us. It is that moment that we spend our whole lives denying will happen. We spend our whole lives holding it off. We won't make wills. We won't see the insurance man. We will buy creams to try to make our wrinkles go away. If it gets bad enough, we'll have a doctor hook up the cheeks and pull them back behind our ears and staple them there. Whereupon, we look a little like puppets, but we look like young puppets, which to us is all that matters. We dread age, dread our departure, pretend that it will not happen for as long as we can. Everyone here has lost someone dear. There may be a couple who have not, but one thing is certain, they will. None of us are getting out of here alive. And all of us will surrender that person that we thought we could not live without. Lo and behold, we will be tasked with living without her. Living without him. We thought we couldn't do it, and we have to do it. We also thought when it happened that we could never be happy again. And it is true that our happiness would never be the same as it was. Our innocence is gone, but our joy is not gone. It's just different. There is satisfaction in life after terrible loss. It doesn't seem like it at the time, but it comes and it takes time. time. It seems to be our great enemy. The clocks tick and the calendar pages turn and the months give way to years and the years to decades, and soon we've been serving somewhere for 40, 50 years. Soon we've been married for that long, longer, 60, 70. Soon I've known you longer than I knew my own children. Time goes by and it propels us, it shoves us, it pushes us, it goads us toward the end that we fear. We are Christian, and so we have learned a great deal at the knees of our elders about how good it is to be there, how good a thing it is to be dead, how you get to go to church all the time, which, of course, is what we did here. A long church service does make it more understandable why people don't work any harder to get there than they do. And what of those that you remembered when you wrote them down in the necrology? What of Nancy Whitmer, for instance? How hard did she work to be good? Very hard. But did she not also delight in being a bit bad? And not being afraid to show it? Perhaps the other ones that you remember were something like that too. Good, but a little bad. Righteous, but funny. Loving, but able to twist it a little. We are so mixed. We are so large, and we are so small. We are so good, and we are so bad. We are so noble, and we are so base. Hip deep in the mud we are, and yet stretching always toward the stars, within the same carapace of bone and flesh. We are at once animal and angel, capable of such nobility and such shabbiness. If we were to look at ourselves honestly, we would be astonished almost all of the time. Drive by, ride the train by apartment houses in New York City, see the lights in every window, look through the window, and if you had better eyes, you could see the people in there, and they are eating supper together, and they are sleeping during the day because they have shift work at night, and they are studying for exams, and they are fighting. And who knows what else they may be doing behind those windows. You look, and the windows go by, and the windows all look alike. They're yellow squares of light, and yet inside each window is a unique family, a unique person, a unique pair, a drama about which you know nothing as you pass. They all look the same. They're all little squares, and yet when you look at them, it is like fairyland there when you look at all the lights, even here where there are not so many lights. Go by the houses at night, and the light from the window spills out onto the grass. In the winter, spills out onto pure snow, which does not turn black overnight like it does in New York, but stays white for a long, long time, and the light spills out of the windows onto the snow. In a holy pool, and behind them are the people whom you do not know, or maybe you do. Maybe one of the houses is yours. Inside the house are the people, and inside each person is the heart. And each person is different. Each heart is different, but each one has a heart. You stand next to the hospital bed, and you watch the monitor, which we watch now. They used to not watch a monitor before they had them. They used to just watch the person sink. Sometimes in those days, they would put a mirror up to the mouth to see if breath fogged it, to help them know when the passing had occurred. We watch the monitor, and we watch it jagged And then, because we are lay people, we don't really know what we're seeing. So we stop watching the monitor and we watch the person, and then we become like the people long ago, just us and the dying. And we do not know really when they go. You see them breathe, and the chest goes up and down, feebly. Sometimes energetically, but then there's a long pause in between, as if there was a gasp. And then nothing for a long time, and you find yourself counting, trying to count seconds in between breaths. And you count and you count, and it's 10, and then it's 15. And then the counting just goes on, and you look at the person who's on the other side of the bed inquiringly. And then you look at the one in the bed, and you look at each other, and you think, oh, that, she is gone now. The person in the bed is different. All of the funny things, all of the things that you remembered, you can't get those from that person in the bed anymore. If there was something you wanted to ask her, that question remains unasked and unanswered. You are startled by her absence. In the presence of her form, that body through which you loved her so many ways, that body through which you related to him and in which you trusted in him and with whom you fought, all of the things you did with him were done through his body, her body. And now it's not the same. Our early days without her pass in a fog. You may eat, but you don't remember what you ate. People keep bringing you food, and you lose track of what happens to it. Lots of food they bring you, as if losing somebody made us hungry, when it makes us not want to eat. But people want to help us. They want to bring us something that brings life, and what brings life more than food? And so the casseroles continue to come in, and they come in for a long time, but then they trickle off. You put what you can in the freezer, you give the rest to the dog, and your life goes on. Everything takes its place again. The newspaper keeps coming, and you have to make dinner, and you use some of those casseroles, and eventually you go back to work, and you are the same, but you are not. All of us are different in that regard. We are slow or fast. All of us take the time it takes to turn loose of those whom we must surrender. It is hard to turn loose of them. It is surprisingly easy, though, for them to turn loose of us. Those of you who have stood there know this, because you have seen that more of them is in the next world than is in this one. And that at the end, they are not as sad to leave us as we are to see them go. The pain of dying is largely ours. And as hymn after hymn after hymn attests, the joy of dying belongs to them in a way we cannot know until we know in person. So in the funeral, we sing these hymns about the joy of heaven and how delighted they must be. And sometimes those lyrics they feel cruel to us. I just soon have a different kind of joy, thanks. If you just send her back, you can keep heaven. I want her. Of course we think that. And Jesus knows we think that. This is not a surprise to him. Our humanness and our parochial vision and the limits of our understanding, they are all part of being human. And they are no sin. It is no sin to begrudge the dying their happiness because their happiness is something we do not understand. Of course, we want them back. We want them back in the old way. And it takes us a while to come to terms with the fact that they can't come back in the old way, but they can come back in a new way. So, you who have lost her, in more than memory, in more than just, oh, remember how she used to do that, and remember what a pistol she was here, in more than that, let her come to you, let him speak. He cannot speak to you in the old way. And if you insist that he speak only your language, you will be disappointed. But let her speak to you in her way, her interesting, capricious, serendipitous way. Let her speak to you through signs. Let her speak to you through birds. Let her speak to you through butterflies. Let her speak to you through music that they play in the supermarket when you're in the frozen food section and you think, oh, Nancy. Oh, my goodness, Jim. Let them manifest themselves to you. When Jesus manifested himself to his disciples, he came in through walls, the doors being locked, they were sure to tell us. He could come in through a locked door. He didn't do what we usually do when we walk into a room. Let them be Christ to you, for they are in Christ now. All of their power, which trickled away from them in the end, leaving them with no power even to breathe. All of their power has returned and has been added to and has been multiplied many, many fold. They now have the power of being in Christ. They have the power of Christ. They are in Christ. Talking to them, it's talking to him. So don't be ashamed if you find yourself practically praying to the one you have lost. God knows you do that. Jesus knows what you need and what you long for. They are in him. He is in us. Death is not nothing, but it is also not everything. Death, it turns out, is part of life. We're in one part, they're in another. We are together, though. They see us. They see us now. I bet they critique us. We love and miss them too much to critique them much. But we will learn how to do that a little better as time goes on. My mother and I have gotten along so much better since she died. To Christ, in whom all of us live and move and have our being, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, glory, and power from this day forward and forevermore.
Amen.